Well, nativity scenes, lots of us have them. Not all of them come with a stable, but if yours does, have you ever noticed how tiny the stables are? Like, there's barely room to put Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, and perhaps a donkey or a sheep. And you kind of fan out the other characters facing the stable to make it look like they belong, when in actual fact, they're being left out in the cold. Well, I much prefer the description of the stable in one of C.S. Lewis's books in his Narnia series. This was in the last battle, and King Tyrion of Narnia and a few of his friends, they've just been captured by their enemies, and their enemies have marched them up a hill at the top of which is a tiny, decrepit stable. And their captors force King Tyrion and his friends to go inside the stable. And because it's so tiny, they expect to find it cramped and dark and really with not enough room for all of them. But instead, to their amazement, they discover that the stable is actually the size of the whole world. There was blue sky overhead and grassy country spreading as far as Tyrion could see in every direction. It seems, said one of Tyrion's friends, that the inside of the stable is bigger than the outside. Well, this to me is a much better picture of the Christmas stable. The stable is big, and there is room for everyone. This is one of the Christmas messages that we hear in Luke's gospel, in God's very surprising choice to announce his son's birth to a bunch of lowly shepherds. Now, most of us have heard this story so often that we miss the surprise. Our image of shepherds is often formed, by the ones we see in our children's Christmas pageants, like the one we had here last Sunday, when the shepherds are in bathrobes and they're cute. They're kind of confused, and some of them, adorably, are even missing a front tooth. Well, the actual real-life shepherds on that first Christmas night probably had more in common with the Hell's Angels than they did with those cute little shepherds we see in our plays. First-century Jewish shepherds were a sketchy lot. If they came into your place of business, you'd find your clients feeling for their purses and slipping their smartphones into their backpacks. Shepherds were crooks. And there were some Jewish towns that even had bylaws preventing the shepherds from entering the city boundaries. They were poor, they were struggling, they weren't successful thieves either, like the ones you see in the Ocean's 11 movies. Even if you could get past their thieving, they lacked a lot of the social graces. A lot of their Jewish fellow Jews couldn't get past their smell. Because Jewish shepherds, they slept outside at night. They slept with their sheep. They were watching their sheep. So they slept with them, and they slept in clothes that were seldom washed. Shepherds didn't follow all the Jewish laws around cleansing and purity or any of the Jewish food laws. Really, how could they? They were ritually unclean, which basically meant that they were not good at their religion. And yet these are the people that God decided it would be good to first announce the birth of his son to. So the last people that you would expect to see at a religious event are the first that God invites, as if to answer the skeptics. See, my son really is good news for everyone. There are no exceptions. No exceptions. And in case we miss the point, who are the next people that God invites to come and see his son? It's the Magi. We have them approaching the creche scene in the next 2 weeks. The Magi. So the Magi were from the east. they were Gentiles, which meant they were not Jews, which meant they were outsiders. Now, they were wealthy outsiders. You know, if you could afford gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's kind of like bringing a Rodler pram, an entire wooden nursery set, and a minivan to the baby shower as a gift. It's very wealthy. But they weren't appropriately religious. They were not the kind of people that you would expect to show up at a divine moment in history. See, God says, my son is good news for everyone. Well, I know I welcomed you earlier, but in light of this Christmas message in Luke, let me welcome you again. No matter where you come from, no matter who or what brought you here tonight, there is room at the stable for you. Whether it's your first time here or whether you've been coming here your whole life, you are most welcome. You are welcome. We are so glad that you have come to worship this night. The stable is big, Luke suggests in his gospel. And it's a good thing, too, because the angels don't just make a general announcement about his son's birth, like the birth announcement in a newspaper. I think God's announcement is more like the phone call from a happy parent with the enthusiastic invitation to come to the hospital and meet the baby in person. I don't know if you heard as Warren read it just now, but there's actually two messages in the angel's message to the shepherd that night. One is generic, simply because what happened on that first Christmas night is indeed good news for the whole world. I bring good news that is for everyone, the angel said. Today has been born the Messiah, the Lord. But alongside that general announcement is a very personal one. I bring you good news. A Savior has been born to you. The angel is not just sharing news that has zero implications for the shepherd. God is telling them that in their brief personal lives, Jesus is for them, personally and specifically. And that becomes all the more clear when the angels give the shepherds directions to the hospital. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. They didn't have computers or street names in the first century. So this really is as close as it gets to a first century map quest. The directions make it very clear. The birth announcement is God's personal invitation to go and worship the Messiah. And that this is also true of us at Christmas. The good news of Jesus is for you personally. God invites each of us to worship his Son, who is good news to us specifically. So let me say it again, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad to be together worshiping the Christ. And although none of us have seen angel choirs, we've heard the message and we've responded to the invitation. Tonight, in spirit, we're joining with the shepherds who said yes to God's birth announcement and ran to Bethlehem to welcome the Christ child. They knelt by his manger, and tonight we enter Christ's presence through our prayers and through our songs and through our sacraments. Of course, I can't tell you what it means to welcome Christ in your life beyond the confines of this service. I don't know your story, where you've come from, but I do encourage you, beyond this service, to listen to God's messengers, whoever or whatever they may be, to see how God might be inviting you to welcome his son as we move into 2015. And if a conversation with me is helpful, I'm always glad. Or if you're from out of town, I'm sure you can find a local minister who'd be willing to talk. Or if it's safer, you're welcome to come explore these questions privately on a Sunday morning sitting in the back pew. We are friendly, I have to warn you, but we do give people space. For those of you who worship here regularly, we'll be exploring this question of how we worship the Christ with our lives in a special series in Lent. What I can tell you tonight is that Christ is worth coming to see. He's worth coming to see. He is good news to the shepherd and to us because he is Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know if you know, but one of God's most frequently made promises in Scripture is that he is with us, that he's with us. And he promised that one day he would send a shepherd, a good shepherd, who would tenderly gather God's sheep, who would lead them beside still waters and restore their souls, who would guide them in the ways of righteousness and even shepherd them through the valleys of the shadow of death to the heavenly banqueting table that he has prepared for them and which we get a foretaste of in this meal that we share tonight. I am the good shepherd, the baby in Bethlehem said when he was a grown man. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. The Good Shepherd, who is Emmanuel God with us, is still God with us. He shepherds us in the great mishmash of joys and sorrows in our lives, in the goodness and in the big messes alike, in our living and in our dying. We are all his sheep. We are all welcome to belong to this good shepherd, to be a part of his flock, all of us, the wise and the world weary, the sinners and the saints, the magi and the shepherds. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's try that again. That was awful. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
You are very welcome here. As we celebrate